My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
The Big Bad Morning Show presents Jeremy Kahn. In a world of stupid. 105.7 The Fan.
All right, so this is going to be fun. Let's start with this Colts fan. I think we played the first week when they had the video regarding the Texans, but this is our song. Mm. I love when he goes, "We bleed blue," or when he just starts jumping when the beat's gonna hit.
It's not the nay at the end.
No, that's well. Look, I'm not gonna let him sing it to you. Let's play his song.
This is our Colts. This is our team. We bleed blue. This is our Colts. Whether win or lose, we love them. For the shoe. Beat the Packers. Let's pack them down with our shoes. This is our team. Go Colts.
That's fantastic.
Hey guys, it's a banger. Did we figure out what song he's parodying? I can't.
It sounds familiar. I can't place it. I haven't been able to find an answer online.
Is it a gospel song? Or is it a country song?
It sounds like a pop song or a country song.
We bleed blue. He's made one for every. I think he's going to do it every week.
Yeah, he was doing it for the preseason games also. He's dedicated.
You got to pack them down with your shoes.
Yeah, I was going to say, he really lines up a good little zinger there for each
got
one.
Him. Yeah, got him on that one.
Honestly, that's one right there. I can see, you know, you're coming off a. Maybe you win a fantasy football game or something. You're coming off a high. I'm having a tequila. And
put that one on.
I'm putting that banger on, man. Hey, you know what? I love it, but, you know. Like, fortunately, he's bleeding blue when the Colts are 0-2.
Yeah.
It's tough right now.
We're 0-2. It's like you watch this guy, and I hope for the sake that I'm not making fun of somebody that has some sort of issues. But this kid getting on there and doing it, I guess he's a grown up, right?
See, but you know what I love too. Honestly, like I love the energy. I love the passion. I love when people care so much about something, right? I really do. You see the first one with the Texans, he was they brought the mascot.
Yeah.
The mascot was there. I mean, hey, look, they're getting behind it. It's just unfortunately, maybe I don't want him to change up his song, but the Colts got to change something.
They have to do something, and we've watched them now. They could have won both these games and ended up losing both, but we bleed blue. Joe, you got to keep that nay for just later on. Just throw it randomly in the show.
Joe, how can you do a nay? Can you do one?
Not like that. I'm more of a wee snaw kind of guy.
A wee snaw?
Wee snaw.
Do you know what a gay horse eats?
No, Jeremy, what does a gay horse eat?
Hey.
Okay, sorry. There we go.
All right, let's move on. All right, I want to talk about Jane's Addiction. Are you a Jane's Addiction fan at all? I hate them, personally, so.
Like the band?
Yeah, the band.
You know, it's not on my Spotify top artists.
Joe knows I hate him because he plays...
Yeah, I've played it before and...
Was it Been Caught Stealing?
Been Caught Stealing, and there's Mountain Song is another one I've played before, and you're like, is this Jane's Addiction? And I was like, yeah, God, I hate him so much.
I hate Perry Farrell's voice, but the reason I want to bring this up, and I'm bringing it up in the world of stupid, is over the weekend, they were playing a show, and freaking Perry Farrell goes up to Dave Navarro and kind of gives him a forearm to the chest. They start shoving, and then all of a sudden the concert stops. They're done, and they're saying they're taking a bit of a reprieve. They're going to get away from it and try to figure things out. They've canceled the rest of their tour. But how often do we see this? Like, it's kind of weird when you see it on stage, and it doesn't bother me because I don't like the band. But from some of the stuff I was reading is that the band doesn't like when Perry Farrell kind of goes off on these rants. Like, when he'll be singing a song, and he'll kind of do his own thing. So they sped the song up, and I don't know that anybody told Farrell. And then he took it out on Navarro. But it is just fun. Navarro's just looking at me like, did you just hit me? Like, what are you doing? And then they're pushing and shoving and going nuts there. So, I don't know. If you haven't seen the video, I think it's pretty interesting. I would tell you, if you're looking for something, go look for the Colts fan first. That guy's just, he's putting out hits. Let's talk about this, because I'm glad we can get into some weird stuff with Ryan here. Nudist pals take naked six-day tandem bike trip across England. One lady even thanked us as the headline. And I got to be honest, so when we texted... We had the group chat going on when Ryan was filling in, and I said, Joe, did you tell Ryan that it's Topless Tuesday? And you, what did he write back? He had one of the best bangers.
Tarps off.
Tarps off, baby. Yeah, tarps off. So, but, and then I even asked him, I said, would you go on a naked tandem bike ride? I don't know who gets to ride in the front and the back. Is there a better situation there?
I'm just worried about the chafing. That's all I can think about is the amount of chafing on the,
area. I didn't put it all together. So now it's almost 7. It's 7 a.m. now. So it's a tandem bike. Oh, they were on the
same bike. Yeah.
Oh, two seats. Shirts and pants, man. Yeah. All right. So I don't know if I want to give a preference and be judged by this, but I feel like I'd rather be in the front.
Oh, make sure you isolate that.
You know what? I'm going to stop speaking. It was great to see you, Jeremy. Whoa!
Thanks for coming out, Ryan. No, but like with these with the tandem bike rides and people riding in the nude, it's kind of crazy. Two pals are causing a stir while competing in a 6-day tandem bike ride, both completely naked. I can't make this up. Neil Cox, 36, and his friend Jay Antic, 25. Set off on a naked 260-mile journey from Gloucester to Land's End, Cornwall. They're both naturists, which means they're going to be naked. And it is, Jay Antic is a woman, so it's not two guys tandem bike riding, but it is, it's still creepy, right? Like, Joe brought up all the chafing. Like, I know for myself, I'll get a bad set of bunker balls where I can't walk, and I look like Yosemite Sam walking down the street because of all the chafing. So you got to get like some butt butter and different things that you put on your body. You guys know about this? I think Mark Viviano.
Is that what it's called?
I think Mark Viviano is the one that taught me about butt butter for bike riders. It's all this, there's different names for it, but one of the brands is butt butter. And I guess you rub that on your ass and your thighs so you can hopefully avoid chafing.
Yeah. Well, so I assume the that's where you'd rub it. The more you know. And by the way, for the record here, I wouldn't go on this. I set a preference on it, but for the record, only if I do it with Jeremy will I not go. Ryan, oh, wow, there's a photo.
This could be us.
That is what I don't know what I was thinking going into this.
I got to be in the front because I'm sure there's going to be some smells in the back seat, so I can't do that. The wind's blowing.
I feel I'm a little nauseous.
A little back shot.
Oh,
there you go. Yeah.
You know what? That's scenic.
There's a bunch of hills and mountains in there, it looks like. And definitely some bushes, too. So, anyway, we're going to keep it moving. That's your world of stupid. We got plenty of Orioles talk this hour, which I'm excited to be here with Ryan talking about O's Giants series. We'll talk about Cole Irvin being DFA'd and not Craig Kimbrell. We'll get into all that and maybe more tandem bike riding from Ryan Ripken and I. It's the Big Bad Morning Show here on The Fan. Welcome back. Jeremy Kahn, Ryan Ripken, The Big Bad Morning Show. Rob Long and Ed Norris are off this week. Now, so we did find out that the This Is Our Colts is a gospel song, Joe, or This Is Our God. Is that sacrilegious to do that, though? I don't know if this guy should he be burned at a stake or something? What? How does this work? At least does he get to perform it once before he goes? I don't know. I'm sure there'll be a week three song. I don't even know who the Colts play this week. But we're going to get into football, Ryan. We were talking about this. Football, Jesus. Baseball, thank you. Baseball, we were talking about this earlier with the Orioles and the Giants. Giants coming to town. Giants are a really interesting team. Back when Gabe Kapler was there, it was just like all analytical. Like And I know there's still a lot of that going on, but Gabe Kapler is like president of the analytics club. It didn't lefty-righty matchup. He was always going by what the percentages told him. Nothing wrong with that. But it just didn't work out there for him. And you look at this situation now, they have some really good young players. If you haven't seen Tyler Fitzgerald play, he's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Helio Ramos actually hit the first. He was the first right-hander to hit the ball in McCovey Cove this week.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some talent on that team. You'll see some former Orioles, Mike Yastrzemski, and even, what's the local kid's name that I'm blanking on?
Lamont Wade.
So
played against him, with him, and a lot of things growing up.
That's cool. See, that's why I love this stuff. Like you've had relationships with these guys, either playing with them, against them, and we can talk about it. But what do you make of this Giants team coming to town? Because the Orioles get a day off after losing the series against Detroit. How do you feel about how things are shaping up for the Birds?
Well, I probably am more optimistic than others, not because the Orioles have played well over the last 2 months. They have been consistently inconsistent, right, Jeremy? And that's just the reality of it. It's been hard for them to string together winning series. It's been hard together for them to put a winning streak together, period. But they're in a great spot. Unless they have some sort of monumental collapse, they're going to be in the postseason. And yeah, we figured out here, it's not even figuring out, for as long as you've watched baseball, but I know a lot of other people are excited about this Orioles team, and maybe you haven't experienced playoff baseball over the last couple decades, but it truly is, which team is getting hot at the right time, and can you get healthy enough? And for Baltimore, that's what they're going to need, Jeremy. I mean, you have guys, and you can't sugarcoat this. We know who they're not getting back, and you're not getting back some of your big arms. You don't have Batista, obviously, for the whole year. Kyle Bradish is an ace Cy Young candidate if he's healthy. But then you have a hope to get back Grayson Rodriguez, who can pitch like an all-star. Jordan Westberg is an all-star. Danny Coulomb, if he didn't get hurt, could have been an all-star this year. Those are three big names that you need. But for Baltimore, you just got to try to get there. And it just feels like they're limping there. And I do understand that for fans. Like, that's the frustrating part, is that they're just not playing overall good enough baseball at this moment in time.
So there's a couple things with this series coming up. One of the things I'd say about especially this Birds team, I'm talking about the Orioles, you start looking at the lineup. And again, if you're able to throw in a Jordan Westberg and a Ryan Mountcastle on that lineup, think about what it does for you. Because right now, the bottom's very wanting. You've already moved Mullins up to the top because he's been hitting the hell out of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He's been playing extremely well. But like, the more you get to see Ryan O'Hearn on an everyday basis, you start to see that there are some holes in his game that you probably want him facing primarily right-handed pitching when you can. Defensively, we've talked about that. This infield does not look good. When you're throwing in Emmanuel Rivera, you're trotting in guys that you've caught up from the farm system to kind of be placeholders at certain positions. Jackson Holliday and Kobe Mayo aren't hitting. All these things can change just like that, especially with an influx of talent coming back. They're going to have that. We just don't know how much. But facing the Giants, you're probably going to get the best that the Giants have to offer. Blake Snell versus Albert Suarez. Can Snell make it through five innings today? We'll see. We also have Hayden Birdsong against Dean Kramer and Logan Webb against Zach Eflin. These are some really interesting pitching matchups. Birdsong, one of their young prospects. There's some similarities to Cade Povich, even though he's pitched a little bit better than him. Still walks too many guys, in my opinion, but it's the same thing. How many times have you seen a young pitcher come up and it's like he's either nibbling or he doesn't trust his stuff right away, doesn't trust a changeup at the major league level, like, oh my God, they're going to hit this a country mile, and then all of a sudden they're walking guys and putting guys on base, and then they're in kind of a pickle there where they've got to figure out how to get out of that inning.
Yeah, when you come up to the big leagues in general, any player, you are excited that you made it, then the next part is, all right, well, can you sustain it? And then do you have the confidence to know that you belong? Because until you have consistent success at the big league level, Jeremy, and it just needs to happen once first for it to sink in, then you're just going to have to replicate it. That's how you stay longer. But for guys that are just coming up, you need to try to prove that to yourself. And Birdsong's one of those guys. He's had flashes, mm-hmm. but then he's not having consistent moments. And that's the part when you made the comparison to Povich. Hey, look, we saw what Cade is capable of doing, but his problem, if you walk a lot of guys, more times than not, it's going to hurt you. And if you leave pitches that are mistakes over the middle part of the plate and you can't pitch aggressively, you're going to be in trouble. And you're saying trust in your pitches. If you can't throw a pitch in a certain situation, yeah, that's going to limit what you can do. And big league hitters, even if you make a perfect pitch, you're going to have to live with that. So for Birdsong, the one thing on the other side that he has, and this is good for the Giants, they're not going to go to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. This is an opportunity you can rise to the occasion. You're facing a good team, and sometimes that can get you going, the competitor in you. So that's the scary thing of the matchup. And then Blake Snell and Logan Webb speak for themselves.
Yeah.
Those are two of the best arms in baseball.
Blake Snell's one of those guys, too. Like I've already said, you look at all the lefties in the Orioles lineup, that I prefer that lineup when they face right-handed pitching.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, Logan Webb actually scares me more than a Blake Snell, because if you can be patient with Snell, Snell throws a lot of balls. They look like strikes. That's why people are swinging at him. If you can be patient with him, you can work the counts and then get into that Giants bullpen. And oh, by the way, the Giants have a pretty good bullpen too. So this is no cakewalk facing this team. This team was, they were on the cusp of making the playoffs, and then the Padres, the Diamondbacks, and the Dodgers all started winning at the same time, and then they were kind of cast out. But I do like this Giants team. Not a lot of household names from the hitter standpoint. Again, Tyler Fitzgerald being the best of the bunch there. I mean, this kid was, if he had come up earlier, he'd had a chance at Rookie of the Year in the National League.
Yeah, I mean, they got some good pieces, and this was a team that still had aspirations to push for the playoffs, and right, they're going to finish maybe around 500, and slow start for Blake Snell, obviously, the whole offseason and that whole...
He and Jordan Montgomery.
Fiasco, woof.
Yeah.
For Gumbies is Jordan Montgomery's name. Got to know him at South Carolina when I was down there. Really tough. So you're behind the eight ball, but then they started to pick up steam. I think they're going to be a very tough team next year, I think, but the NL West is hard. In general, though, for Baltimore, you know, you mentioned earlier, you know, for them to win these games down the stretch, it's something's got to give. And I mentioned about fielding. If that's got to be your constant, they haven't done that. Situational hitting, not having Jordan Westberg hurts.
He's a grinder at the plate,
he's
too.
He's a grinder. Honestly, if you go back and watch his at-bats, how many guys were falling down to two strikes and they felt like they got better? It felt like he wasn't giving in. Sure, I know he's going to strike out. He's going to get out. But I remember specific moments. Kansas City comes to my mind twice, where he had the walk-off, two-strike, home run to right center early in the season. And another moment, I think the home run and actually in Boston as well. Mm-hmm. Early in the season when the Orioles came all the way back, it was a two-strike pitch that Jordan Westberg went big ball to dead center. He just locks in. And it's not that Oriole hitters aren't locking in, but they aren't mentally executing in those moments. And one of your best guys, best RBI guys, isn't there to help you through it.
Yeah, look, there's been a lot of struggles on this team. And again, once the postseason starts, you're kind of hoping that this kind of goes the wayside. But we're going to talk about that a little bit. Is there a team that's more favorable for the Orioles to face in the postseason? We get into that at 7:45. But up next, Cole Irvin was DFA'd, claimed by the Twins. People were clamoring, saying, why wasn't Craig Kimbrell DFA'd instead of Cole Irvin? We'll talk about that next right here on the Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
You know, I can't explain all the feelings that you're making me feel, Joe, right now. Jeremy Kahn, Ryan Ripken. It's a lot of baseball talk going on here. We have the Giants coming to town. Lots of great matchups. I think this week when we went over the pitching matchups, Snell, Suarez today, Birdsong, Kramer tomorrow, Webb and Eflin on that Thursday afternoon game at 1 o'clock. One of the things that just recently happened, you know, I used to joke all the time, and it was this ongoing thing of I would name Cole Irvin the MVP of the Orioles at the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Really liked when he came over from the A's. To me, he was a pitcher. Not just a thrower, you know, and we didn't get to see that side of him. I thought he looked better with the A's. He had some moments here, like the streak at the beginning of the year. But he gets DFA'd. The Twins claim him, which has fans wondering. It's like, why wasn't Craig Kimbrell DFA'd? This is kind of one of those weird things where I think there might be some financials and different things that you're looking at. And again, maybe there's still that hope that Craig Kimbrell finds it and catches fire. I think that's a bit of a wish and a whatever you want to call it. I mean, you can flip that coin in the well and hope it happens. I just don't see it. What are your thoughts on, first off, Kimbrell not being DFA'd and then Cole getting DFA'd?
Yeah, I would be shocked if Kimbrell actually gets DFA'd for a few reasons, right? I think that he's a guy that truly, until the All-Star break, he was an All-Star pitcher. He should have been in the All-Star game, in my opinion. Look at his numbers. They were that good. And then now, whether it's the mental side is caught up, if it's age, if his body's failing, he's not having the production now in the second half. And there's not moments you can trust him in the second half of the season. And look, I get it. I'm a big Craig Kimbrell guy, but I understand you just can't have him in the high leverage moments anymore. But I think for the Orioles, yeah, there could be a financial component in there. But is there a chance for a veteran guy? And the Orioles don't have a lot of depth in the bullpen. I think that's where I kind of look at. And Cole's role, it would be maybe a spot starter or maybe would be a long relief guy. And I think that's the part where, quite frankly, if you get Grayson back or if you don't in the playoffs, with Dean Kramer now picking it up, Albert Suarez or Dean takes over that long relief role in a series where you're only going to have, you know, three or four starters. So that's where my mind goes, Jeremy.
I've been getting killed for my take on that because I want Suarez in the bullpen. I mean, there's a couple things, and you could tell me you agree or disagree. He's done a phenomenal job this year, but as a pitcher in the postseason, as a starter, he has got close to a 1.3 whip. He gets a couple guys on early. You know what it's like. It's that short hook. And I think that's a tough thing to do as a manager. I'd rather have some of the guys that went through this. And I think Suarez is a live arm in that bullpen. And if I can use him in almost every game, I'd prefer that. And having Kramer pitch, who got a little experience last year, didn't go well. That's just where I stand. That's if Grayson is healthy and comes back and you have your top three there.
I think that's the exact point. And also, you know why? I still don't have a nickname for Albert Suarez, by the way. Mr. Albert, you know, what nickname do we
go
with him? Big Al? Big Al's the easiest. Yeah. I keep doing this dilemma. But one thing that for certain for Albert Suarez, he knows how to pitch out of the bullpen and he doesn't get phased. And so when you look at guys like Cole and you look at guys even like Dean Kramer, Dean never comes out of the bullpen. He is a starter. To ask a guy to do a role they've never done, that's not easy to do. Cole had his struggles out of the bullpen. He could do it, but it wasn't consistent enough. Albert, it's a full-on, you know what he can do. He doesn't care. Hey, oh, Grayson's hurt. We need you to start. Gotcha. Hey, we're good right now. Can you go to the pen? I got you too. that's a value to a ball club, because not everyone, we can look at all analytics and numbers and go, well, he has a good ERA, we can just plug and play him here. No, that's not the case. You got to be ready for the moments, and I'm with you. Albert's stuff can play well out of the bullpen for an inning or two, but he's also a guy that can come in and bulldog you and wear you down for three, four, five innings.
And it's a perfect example. Like you, let's say, God forbid, Zach Eflin comes out and just doesn't have it for whatever reason. And you're going to give him the quick hook because you're a little bit nervous of, okay, we're down 3-0. Suarez is one of those guys that could come in and give you five innings and keep you in it. But he's also, like, again, watching him pitch this year, you saw those great starts, and then he faced the White Sox and gets knocked around. He still puts guys on base, but I got to be honest, he's been Houdini out there getting out of jams. I just think that's a tough way to manage in the postseason, because you got to have so much trust in a guy that doesn't have a long track record and saying, I'm going to leave him out there even when he gets two guys on, because the quick hook does happen in the postseason.
It definitely happens, and especially when you look at guys like Albert Suarez, what helps him is that his age and being a little bit older, and I know that he hasn't had the big league experience. It was 7 years off, for those that didn't know, with Albert Suarez pitching in the big leagues. 7 years. And it wasn't like he was having a ton of success then. That's why he hadn't been back in the big leagues. But that is one thing. And for Brandon Hyde, we saw it then last year. You're going to be quick to have that sensation to make a move. And for Albert, he's a guy that feels like he can put fires out. So that's why I'm with you. I would, if Grayson comes back, it would be postseason, Burns, Eflin, Grayson, if he can go his full pitch count. That's a big one. Or if Grayson, like, hey, Grayson can only give you three innings, have Grayson start the game and have Albert Suarez
follow
be in.
Yep.
I'm with you on it, but it's really going to come down to the health of what's going to happen with Grayson. But one guy I'd rather, if Dean's in this whole situation, Dean, to me, wouldn't go to the pen. Albert is that perfect guy just because he knows how to handle it.
Dean's been amazing his past five starts, too.
So you're saying he should get hit? I told him. I had him on my show, the Ryan Ripken Show. I said, dude, do I got to hit you with a line drive more often?
Yeah.
And he went, ha-ha, please don't. That didn't feel good, but he's been sensational.
Yeah, and you love seeing it here, and obviously you're going to need him. To me, that's a pivotal game in game two here with the Giants of getting after a young pitcher, winning at home, and the way Kramer's been pitching. You're hoping, and I'm not saying, look, you got a great shot anytime Eflin goes out. Logan Webb was a guy they were considering for the Cy Young the past couple years. Blake Snell's won one. So some tough matchups, but look, this is how it's going to be moving forward. Now, let me ask you this about, you brought up Grayson getting stretched out. How long do you think it takes? Like, because I was worried about Westberg getting ready. You know, like, is he going to get enough at bats to where he feels comfortable? Does that matter for a guy like himself that's done this for so long? Clearly, with a pitcher, you've got to build up that arm strength.
Yeah, and I think the part that's going to be even more of a challenge, at least for hitters, if you're 100% go, you know, the only thing is, how do you feel with live at-bats? You can get live at-bats and do it on the backfields or before games. The Norfolk season ends on the 22nd of September, so your opportunity to rehab and have those game reps are going to be gone here soon. I don't know if Jordan's going to play in those games, but Jordan can hop in there, and you know, if you're feeling good and you can get by it, it's nice to get reps, but you can make it happen. The starting pitching, while yes, you can, you got to feel like you're built up. If you guys remember, we just talked about Dean Kramer, but Dean didn't come back up to the bigs because he got knocked around in outings early and he couldn't get his pitch count up. That's the one nervous thing for me with Grayson, especially this is the second time having a lat issue in the last 2-3 years, Jeremy.
Mm-hmm.
If he can't feel like he's built up and he can't have that intensity, And whatever you feel about the reps for rehab, regular season game, it's through the roof in the postseason. That's the one thing that scares me with Grayson, is if he's not 100% healthy and he can't build up the way that he can in a game, are you putting him at risk? And is he going to be able to be the Grayson you're expecting? And that's something that fans have to be realistic about.
So one last thing. So with high leverage pitches in the regular season, you're going to have some games where, hey, some tough moments. In the playoffs, almost every pitch is a high leverage pitch because anything can change the game unless you've built some huge lead. But usually you're not going to know. You're not going to have a situation, what was it, the Cardinals at the Braves, where it's 10-0 at the end of the first inning, where it's like, okay, we can do whatever we want the rest of the way. We're winning this game. But yeah, I think the high leverage pitches, people don't realize what it takes out of a guy.
Yeah, it does. You walk off the mound, you're drenched, your adrenaline's rushing, and I've even seen guys where they go like, I just feel way more exhausted. And they're trying to figure it out. I'm like, "Well, dude, it's the biggest game you probably played so far in your career. You're feeling the momentum. And for a guy like Grayson, the other part for young guys, you got to control yourself. Last year in the postseason for Grayson, he was walking a ton of guys. Why? He's amped up and he's missing balls or missing the zone considerably. And so that's the fight that you're going to have. Good thing he had experience last year. It will help him for this year. But yeah, it takes a different breed to be able to handle the high leverage situations. It's no joke. And that's something you can talk analytics, you can talk numbers, but I love this quote. You can't measure a heartbeat of a player. And that's something that we're going to have to watch for as we move towards October.
All right, we've got Ken McCusick coming up for two segments at 8 o'clock. Going to break down the last Ravens game against the Raiders with him. Take a look forward to what happens with the Cowboys this week. But up next, who's the most favorable playoff matchup for the O's? I have my thoughts. I'm sure Ryan has his. We'll take your calls, 410-583-1057. All right, welcome back. Jeremy Kahn, Ryan Ripken here. Rob Long, Ed Norris off. Talking some baseball before we get into football with Ken McCusick. And one of the things we were asking, who's the most favorable playoff matchup for the O's? And again, I don't care who we face. If I were looking at it, and I'll give you my opinion, it would be the Twins or possibly the Guardians, and the Guardians scare the hell out of me because of their bullpen. The reason I bring up the Twins is no lefty starters.
Mm-hmm.
It's all righties, and I feel like that matches up well. Pablo Lopez has been, he's been on one recently. He's been pitching really well, but if you watched him all season long, he was Jekyll and Hyde. He does get the K's. Joe Ryan hasn't looked like Joe Ryan, but he's still really good. I don't know where they would go. I'm assuming Bailey Ober, hard-throwing right-hander. I love this predominantly lefty lineup, and I love the fact that Kierstead's back up because you saw them plug him right in the middle of the lineup. It just shows you how much he trusts his bat. I just don't know they trust his glove. Mm-hmm. So, like, what do you see with this? Because I looked at Kansas City. Cole Reagan's, a nasty lefty at the top of the order. Seth Lugo has been like a magician this year in what he's been able to do. He was in the Cy Young voting for most of the year. I think they have a favorable pitching matchup, and they're just playing, good baseball right now. But I do think the team they match up the best with is the Twins, but be careful what you wish for, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's the same thought process. The one thing they'll be telling, though, is if it comes down to it and the Orioles have to finish up with Minnesota in Minnesota, what happens that last series? Because when the Orioles played them earlier this year, they took it to them for the most part. And I remember Cedric with the walk-off home run as well. It was a great moment for him. But when you have that competitive advantage over somebody, and recency bias does show, so we'll see how that series ends up. But I do think the Twins lineup, when you look at it, that's still just an overall team that doesn't just put fear in you, right? And I know a lot of people are worried about, I don't want to play the Royals again after all those games. The Royals can put a little bit of fear in you because their pitching staff's elite. They are very good at the top. But the Orioles still have a competitive advantage over them, meaning they found the way to win the close games. And for a team, until they do it, that could stick with them. I'll tell you a team I don't want them to face. It's a team they just played in Detroit, who right now as we sit, only a game and a half out of a playoff spot. And that is a part that gets a little bit more terrifying.
Who are they most likely to knock out? Is it the Twins?
They would knock out the Twins. So the Royals at the moment have a 2.5 game advantage over Minnesota. So they're 4 games up on the Tigers, but the Twins only have a game and a half advantage on the Tigers. The Mariners, who I thought were dead in the water. I really did, but now they're only 2 games back. So I'll be honest, though, I don't mind the Orioles matching up with Seattle. Same thing. They have a good pitching staff. But the Orioles seem to know how to beat them. They know how to make the big moment. And I'm not sold on Seattle's lineup. I know they're trying to pick it up.
Did you see a Rosarena step out 3 times?
And then hit a bomb.
And then hit a bomb the other night. Oh, man. But I think you nailed it there in talking about some of these other teams. And I didn't realize Seattle was just 2 games out.
Yeah.
I mean, that pitching rotation with, stack them up however you want with Logan Gilbert. I know Castillo's hurt right now. I'm a huge fan of George Kirby, and then adding in Brian Wu, who's just been fantastic for him.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't think anybody wants to see that. But again, as we sit here and look at it, Cleveland is so scary to me, and I feel like you match up better with their starters. But once you get into that bullpen, good night. It's good luck scoring. And if they're able to do what the Orioles did years ago and shorten the game to make it a 5-inning game, and basically, hey, we get to the bullpen, we got these 4 innings locked down, so you better score off the starter because you're not getting anything once we get there.
Yeah, and for the Orioles right now, for people to understand, they still got a 2.5 game lead then on Kansas City for the 5th spot. So the worst thing right now is that you're thinking that Kansas City could jump the Orioles, right? And the Orioles now, it's 12 games left to play. They have to, I mean, fall off the face. They're 6.5 games up, but they do have to play the Tigers one more time. It just looks good.
They miss Scooble, though, is the what it looks like, unless something changes.
Yeah, unless something changes, which is always good. But again, you got to take care of take care of business. And you felt like you had a good chance to win that series in Detroit, and you didn't. You know, if the Orioles have to play the Yankees, yeah, I'm fine with that. Down the road, they won't play them in the first round if the Yankees get the bye. Houston, if the Orioles were to fall, that would be, they'd have to fall the sixth seed. So realistically, it's which wild card team would you face if you're the Orioles? So right now you're looking at it, it's Kansas City, Minnesota, Detroit, Seattle. I'd probably say of all those teams, Kansas City would be the team that I would, I'd still say Detroit. You know, Kansas City's missing a big piece too, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Vinny Pasquantini. One of the top RBI guys in all baseball. Bobby Witt Jr. deserves all the credit. That dude is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Great pitching staff. But when you have a guy that was approaching 100 RBIs for the season, and the Royals are not the same team that they have been recently, and they just got, they blew a game last night. Yeah. So they're vulnerable, but still a very good team.
They blew it to Detroit. Detroit beat them last night.
Detroit beat them, came back from four, and actually the winning pitcher, Brandon Hennepy, former Orioles prospect, former teammate of Ryan Ripken, by the way. That dude, I'll tell you what, Jeremy, that one hurt me. If you guys watch Hennepy, for baseball fans, he elected free agency, had Tommy John, wasn't in the Orioles' plans, and it hurt me because I've known the kid since 2017. We're pitching. He was pitching in short season. I went, that dude's a big leaguer. Talk about knowing how to pitch. He only threw 92, 93 at the time, and a sinker that moved, it felt like a foot.
Yeah.
And now he's in the big leagues in the bullpen throwing 97-mile-an-hour sink balls and helping Detroit make a playoff push.
Let's grab a call here real quick. Antonio's in Rosedale. What's up, buddy?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, how you doing?
Good. How you doing, Ryan?
I'm doing great. Happy, I guess it's, what's today, Tuesday? I'm feeling good. Happy Tuesday, you know?
He's still waking up.
I am.
Happy Taco Tuesday.
Yeah, that's it.
Should the Orioles waive Kimball instead of Irvin? And you guys have a wonderful Taco Tuesday.
Thanks, Antonio. That's kind of what we talked about earlier. It's a difficult decision to make. Again, if you're looking at Cole Irvin, I wonder what his role would have been on this team if it wasn't being a starter, how he would look out of the bullpen. And as you pointed out, you know, I know they're paying a lot of money to Kimbrel, but I guess there's still that hope in the back of your mind, like, hey, we need some bullpen arms, even if it is to come in late. I get it from fan standpoint because I don't think Kimbrel's coming back to what he was, and I don't think he ends up on the postseason roster.
Yeah, I think right now I'm with you, and you got to hold. I think for the Orioles, it's the what if and the hope, and you don't have high leverage bullpen guys, not enough at least right now. So you're hoping out for the what if. Could Craig get back to that? The upside for Craig is higher than the need for Cole. That's why I think that they made that move.
Well, coming up next, we're going to talk to Ken McCusick for a couple of segments, get his thoughts on the Raiders game, maybe look ahead at the Cowboys. Also find out if he wants to make this a three-team tandem naked bike ride across Europe. Ryan, myself, and Ken. Maybe he's in for it. We'll find out when we come back right here on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again?
With Northside's and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.